Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Good morning, everybody. It's always nice when somebody calls you special, isn't it? You're a special group of people this morning, and it's great to be here. I really enjoyed the worship this morning, the sing, the songs. The words of those songs really spoke to me. And the scripture that Jemima read, I might refer to that a little bit later. I hadn't intended to, but it was just, I'll see if the Holy Spirit prompts me to remember. So this morning, where are we? Oh, I should introduce myself a little bit more. Let me introduce myself a little bit more. So I'm Graham Baird. I'm part of the leadership team at Life Church. And my wife, Elizabeth, who's with me here, she also serves on the leadership team. And together, our principal role, if you like, or what we're involved with most at the moment, is to lead a town centre hub in Warrington, where we seek to pray for people. I'll say a little bit more about it later, but we seek to connect people with Jesus in different ways. So that's what we're doing. That's where we're coming from. But this is the first time I've done this for about 2 years, you know, since lockdown stopped me doing any of this. So it's just great to be here this morning. I just pray that the Lord will release me and help me just to communicate what is on his heart. And I've really enjoyed preparing this week, getting into the topic for this week. We're in the kingdom of God still. I don't think you've finished. I can't quite keep up with where we're up to with these series. We're on the kingdom of God. And my topic is open the eyes of the blind. Open the eyes of the blind. Great. That's a great topic. You know, when preachers and teachers, you say to them, we want to do a series on the kingdom of God, their eyes will light up. It'll be like a kid in a sweet shop. You think, kingdom of God, that's hugely broad. We could talk about this. And if I said to you, what scriptures would you go to if you wanted to talk about the kingdom of God? You'd go to loads of different places. My heart defaults to the Sermon on the Mount. That's a bit like what the kingdom of God looks like. We're going to do something slightly different. No, we're not going there. I'm sure you could come up with other scriptures. So where are we going? We're going to look at when Jesus was in the synagogue at Nazareth and he stood up and he quoted from Isaiah 61. So I just want to playing a little bit of a game. It's a very simple game, and I've given you the answers. It's like to spot the difference. So there's Isaiah 61, verse 1. This is a description of what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what the kingdom of God does. This is what Jesus does. So in Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And Jesus quotes from that. He says he's in the synagogue. He opens up the scroll to Isaiah 61, and he reads it like this. And it's actually written in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And there's a little bit of a difference between the two, isn't there? Yeah. In Luke, it talks about recovery of sight to the blind. And I'm just going to talk about that a little bit. That's the focus for this morning. And it's interesting, though, that there's a little bit of a difference there. And I just thought it'd be good because there's some scholars in the room. I know there's scholars in the room. So just so you think Jesus isn't misquoting Isaiah, just to explain why there's a little bit of a difference there. The New Testament writers wrote in Greek, and they often quoted from something called the Septuagint, if that's the right way of phrasing it. The Septuagint is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, and it was written about 200 or 300 years before Jesus came. It was written by 70, which is where the Septuagint comes from, the name, Jewish scholars. So they translated the Old Hebrew into Greek. So Jesus was probably he could have been quoting from the Septuagint. He could have been reading from that. That's more probably unlikely. But he's reading from a Hebrew version, which includes that phrase. Some of you have probably heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls, which were discovered in the middle of the last century, had a lot of biblical manuscripts discovered among them, and lots of other things as well. And there was a lot of Isaiah scrolls in there. And those Isaiah scrolls refer to people being released from darkness or opening the eyes of the prisoners. So the opening of blind eyes is connected to the liberation of prisoners. So it's likely that the version that Jesus was reading from was based on that kind of Hebrew translation of Isaiah 61. The thing that interested me about this, though, more than the fact that there is that difference there, is that it's Jesus who's talking about recovery of sight to the blind. It's almost like, and though he hasn't added in something extra, he's focused on that, and it doesn't appear in Isaiah. But Jesus is focusing on opening the eyes of the blind, because this is a messianic prophecy, which just means this is what Jesus as the Messiah has come to do. It was prophesied in Isaiah. Jesus speaks and preaches it again. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one who is going to fulfill this. Jesus is ushering in, has ushered in the kingdom of God. That's what he's doing. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. So when I said, find some scripture that talks about the kingdom of God, this is it. This is amazing scripture. This is incredible scripture. Somebody doesn't like my preaching. This is amazing scripture. And the thing I love about this, you know, Jesus has given us this same ministry. So if we were writing this now, if we were writing the Bible now and we were quoting this, we would say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I think is utterly amazing, incredible, encouraging, empowering, spectacular confidence that Jesus has put in us to continue the mission that he's given us. You know, and we're right on it. We're in it, aren't we? So Jesus is bringing sight to the blind. Just want to read from to you Matthew chapter 4, 12 to 17. Next slide. You might think Christmas has come early because this scripture always comes up at Christmas. I love this scripture. I'm just going to read it to you. I'll read it out so you can see it on there. Now when he had heard that John, that is John the Baptist, had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, where he's just been, in the synagogue, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is the focus and the fulfillment of this prophecy. I've gone off. I just get the sense that Jesus is living in the book of Isaiah. He's got that strong sense that his mission, Jesus, my mission is to open the eyes of the blind, is to bring light where there's darkness, is to let people see that the kingdom of God has come. And he connects the kingdom of God with darkness being replaced by light. So it's fantastic. Jesus is the bringer of light. And we'll see a little bit more about that when we read a little bit more scripture in a minute. So Jesus is the one who will open the eyes of the blind, and he'll do that physically, healing physically, and also spiritually. People are blind because they can't see the Messiah, but Jesus is going to reveal that he's the Son of God and that he is the Messiah that they've been waiting for. He's going to open up the eyes of their hearts spiritually so they can discern spiritual truths which they've not been able to see for centuries. You know, light enables us and others to see, doesn't it, in the real world? You know, Liz and I were out. We just visited some friends a couple of weeks ago, and they live on the edge of town, a little bit back from the main road where there's no lights or anything. And we had to just put our torches on from our phones so we didn't fall into the bushes on this track up to where they lived. You know, and you just imagine what it would be like tough to live in this world where there's no sun and there's no moon and there's no light. Life would be absolutely impossible, wouldn't it? It would be impossible. A blind person healed. I've never been blind, but a blind person lives in perpetual darkness, don't they? And when they are healed, the first thing they'll be aware of, I would imagine, is light. And they can see. And they can see. And when we become Christians, we see differently, don't we? We see differently. You'll hear people say things like, I tend to see things in colour now. Or I can see things that I wasn't aware of before. It's like the Holy Spirit comes and he just opens up our spiritual eyes, you know, our spiritual eyes to discern the spiritual things that we need to see. And we have that expression just in general life of someone seeing the light, don't we? You could say that in terms of someone becoming a Christian, but we use it. It's become a general term, hasn't it? Someone's seen the light now, whatever that might be. So what they were blind to before, they can now see clearly. Okay, so let's see Jesus at work. Jesus is going to heal a blind man. Let's look at that. We're going to Elizabeth's going to read John chapter 9 to us. There's no slide for this. So you'll have to gaze upon my beautiful wife, listen to her dulcet tones. But it's just important that we read the whole set of scripture together.
So it's from John chapter 9. Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. Now then, were your eyes open, they asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go wash in Siloam. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. The Pharisees investigate the healing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one who, say, was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but now he can see. Or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah will be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have already told you, but you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They then hurled insults at him and said, you are his fellow disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know what God spoke to Moses. But as for you, as for this fellow, he don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now, that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this, they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim, you can see your guilt remains.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Very well read. That's good. It's a big swathe of scripture, that. But it's important, I think, just to get the whole, to listen to the whole thing. And I'm only going to draw 2 points out of it, and I'll try and just touch on a couple of other bits on the way through. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world again there, didn't he? At the beginning, if you remember that, at the beginning. And again, just emphasizing the point that I made earlier on, in Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Jesus is so keen and specific about himself and ourself and us carrying on and being that same light that Jesus is. But in verse 4, this is my first point. We must do the works of God. We must do the works of God. Jesus says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. There are occasions in the Bible where Jesus talks about himself. I must be about my Father's business and things like that. Here is an example where he says, we must do the works of God. Jesus is there with his disciples. He's not on his own. Jesus is going to heal the blind man, but he's basically saying to the disciples, the next blind man that comes along, you are going to be praying and healing the blind man. You know, and that's the work, a biblically normal church. If we wanted to be a biblically normal church, I am wanting to be part of a biblically normal church. We must do the works of God. Healing is doing the works of God. Praying for the sick is doing the works of God. When we go into the town centre, one of the things we do is we have a couple of chairs, little simple wooden chairs. End of summer sale at B&Q, 2 for £20. I thought, yeah, this is it. This is being efficient with the church's money. 2 simple chairs and a sign that just says prayer. It says church on the street. It says Life Church, so they know who we are, where we've come from, and what we're doing. We pray. We always pray for divine appointments. We have had some amazing divine appointments with people coming and sitting in that chair. And then a couple of weeks ago, a guy came. He wasn't blind, but he was partially sighted, and he was struggling with his eyes. He was known to one of the team. He was known, so, and he's a believer. And he wanted us to pray for him. And we'd never met, Elizabeth and I had never met him before. So we invited him to sit in the chair. And Elizabeth said, Elizabeth is the courageous one. Out of the two of us, I'm always following in Elizabeth's slipstream, but it seems to work okay. So Liz said, right, we're going to pray for you then. We're going to pray for you. And because I'd been in the scripture, I was thinking, I wonder what she's going to do. I wonder if she's going to spit on his eyes. But she just went behind him and put her hands gently on his eyes. And Elizabeth led the prayers. The rest of us prayed. We were praying for him. We were praying for his sight to come. I knew what Elizabeth was thinking. I was sitting there thinking, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come. Please, Lord, let your kingdom come. And often if it's love and compassion could heal people, loads of people would get healed. We just need to make that shift, don't we, to see more healing. He wasn't healed. I think it possibly discouraged him. He really wants his sight back. He came to us with a big cut on his head. And he said, I banged my head because I couldn't on something at work because I couldn't see. And I thought, Lord, come, Lord, if we want you to heal this man. He wasn't healed, he went away, but actually he came back on Friday. He wasn't discouraged, he came back. He said, will you pray again? I said, yeah, we'll pray again. Same thing, not healed as far as we could tell. But I said to him, we are here every week. We will pray with you every week. We want to see your sight restored, and we will pray for him. We pray for a lot of people for healing, you know, and maybe that didn't turn out the way that we would like. It's not going to stop us doing what we believe God's given us to do. But we had a lady come again, we prayed with her. She suffered from fibromyalgia, so she had a lot of pain in her body. That gave her insomnia. She wasn't sleeping. She'd get 2 hours sleep a night. She was trying to work. She was quite worn out, really. But about 2 weeks after we prayed for her, we prayed for her. About 2 weeks after that, we didn't see her, but we saw her mother. Her mother said to us, you know, you prayed for Nikki. You prayed for her. She's healed, you know. She's sleeping. She's not getting pain. She's just restored and able to live life, really, the way that God intends life. But she's not a believer. You know, we trust that God's done something with that healing in her. And it's just that encouraged us, you know. And we're just going to keep doing it. We're going to keep doing it. If it's a knee, if it's an ear, if it's an eye, whatever it is. You know, the Lord wants us to pray for the sick. So that's some of the things that we'll do. Because healing does display the kingdom of God. It says the kingdom of God is here. The theology is the full kingdom of God isn't going to come till Jesus comes back. But you probably heard teaching about the kingdom's now, but not fully yet, that kind of thing. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God. It's here. We can pray for healing, we can pray for the brokenhearted to be bound up. We can pray for those who are maybe held captive by different circumstances of life can be released into that relationship with Jesus. Healing points to something outside of ourselves, doesn't it? I think it's important that we connect with that supernatural heavenly realm. It's drawing the powers of the future kingdom. Oh, it's not the future kingdom, the future realm, the future age. How the Bible describes it, isn't it? The powers of the future age are drawn into our here and now, into our presence. It's a different kingdom erupting, coming, manifesting incredibly into our here and now, into the lives that we live now. So just this question is, do we point to something outside of ourselves, the way we love our lives? How much of the kingdom are we demonstrating? You know, and especially in this regard, you know, let's think, if someone's sick, let's pray. Let's be quicker to pray for them than we are now. Let's just pray for them. Let's lay hands on them. Let's see the sick raised up. Let's see it happen more and more. We want more and more. You know, I said about a biblically normal church, you know, it's a little bit frustrating. It feels like we haven't got to first base. But I believe that the Lord is opening a door more for us. He's encouraging us not to give up and to bring us into what it is to know the power of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the truth of the Scripture, the reality of what Jesus has done in our lives, the mantle that he's given us from Luke chapter 4, all of that. Okay, so we must do the works of God. That's the first point. So as we move, that's right at the beginning, the Scripture we just read there. And as we go into further into John chapter 9, Jesus heals the man in an unusual way. Jesus loves to do things in unusual ways. So maybe if God speaks to you about doing something unusual, don't knock it on the head. Say, Lord, this seems unusual and a bit odd to me, but because I believe you're saying it, let's do it. We'll do that. And the Pharisees investigated. The whole center of John chapter 9 is all about the Pharisees, isn't it? Interrogating the guy. You know, and it is an interrogation, and it does seem a bit brutal. The guy's just been healed. He's been liberated. He's been brought into being able to see. And the Pharisees are giving him such a hard time. And it's, I don't know, it's the cruelty of the Pharisees. I'll talk about a little bit more about that in a minute. And then at the end of the chapter, Jesus goes and finds the healed blind man, doesn't he? He hears that he's been thrown out of the synagogue, that he's been mistreated. And Jesus, because he has compassion and because he wants to connect more spiritually with the guy, he finds him and he asks him the question, doesn't he? And do you believe in the Son of Man? And the blind man obviously doesn't know what that means. And he says, who is he? And Jesus explains who he is. And the Son of Man is Jesus. And his response is, he worships and follows him. A bit like another blind man, blind Bartimaeus, which I think is in Mark chapter 10. When you read the end of blind Bartimaeus, he was the one who called out, Son of David, have mercy on me. You're probably familiar with that story. And right at the end of that, it says that Bartimaeus got up and followed Jesus down the road. Really, really encouraging. So the second point, really, leading off from that, is seeing Jesus has a consequence to us. The healed blind man in John chapter 9 and blind Bartimaeus would say, well, we see Jesus and we follow him. Or do we? Not necessarily. Verse 17 of John chapter 9 says, the Pharisees asked the blind man a similar question to the one Jesus asked. The Pharisees asked the healed blind man, what do you say about him then? What do you say about him? It's a bit like when Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? The Pharisees were asking the healed blind man, who do you say I am? And he said, he is a prophet. And if this man was not from God, he could do nothing. That's so the blind man recognized that the man who'd healed him, who he hadn't seen, you have to remember that, he hadn't seen before Jesus went and found him. So at this point, he didn't know who Jesus was physically. The healed blind man knew that he was from God. Some of the Pharisees couldn't accept it, could they? They couldn't accept it. They could see the healed blind man. The parents were brought in. The evidence was all there. But they thought, but he's been healed on the Sabbath. And to our minds, I just constantly scratch my head and think, I don't understand it. I don't understand why the joy of seeing a man healed is not greater than the fact that some rule has been broken. But the scripture records it, and it happens time and time and time again, doesn't it? Happens time and time again. The prejudice of the Pharisees, you know, who they thought Jesus should be and how he would act, blinded them from seeing who Jesus was and what he was doing in the lives of people. So they insulted the guy in the end, didn't they? They told him, you've been steeped in sin since birth. They'd only just met the guy. And I just think, man, this is harsh stuff. You've been steeped in sin since birth because you were blind. There must be something wrong with you. And they insulted him and threw him out. Those Pharisees who rejected the blind man were rejecting Jesus. They could see with their own eyes. They could see physically in the natural world, those Pharisees. But spiritually, they were blind. Jesus says that at the end, doesn't he? He says, you are blind. You know, and there's another verse in Scripture that Jesus refers to Pharisees as blind guides, doesn't he? And there's nothing worse, I can imagine, than having a blind guide who can't show you where you're supposed to be going. We have that phrase, don't we? As useful as a chocolate teapot. Chocolate teapot's no good for holding hot tea, is it? But you can eat it. You could eat a chocolate teapot. But these Pharisees were blind guides. The Pharisees were supposed to lead people towards God, but they were doing the opposite here. I often pray not to be a Pharisee. I do pray it because I'm aware it's easy to drop into that way of thinking and being, criticizing others, judging others, being prejudiced, thinking I know best. You know, and this is a little trivial thing, but something happened this one that just made me smile when I got out of the car. I have a prejudice, this is a self-confession time here. I have a prejudice about people who drive big posh cars. Now, by big posh cars, I mean a large BMW, I'd mean one of those big Audi Q things, a Land Rover Discovery, Range Rover, whatever it might be. I think, you don't need that car. And look at you, where you drive. You're always the one breaking the speed limit. You're always the one pushing in with the queues. You think the road rules don't apply to you. There's an arrogance that comes with buying and owning one of those cars, don't you? I'm just confessing it. And the irony of the whole thing is, Elizabeth would love us to have one of those cars. But it's just something that comes up in me every time I see some bad behaviour, and particularly if it's a driver with a big BMW. Anyway, the cars people drive has absolutely nothing to do with me, and jealousy's not a sin either, is it? I'm sure it isn't. But the thing that made me smile is, we parked when we came here, we didn't know where to park, so we parked round the corner on the street, and I was just looking for a gap. I honestly wasn't looking at the cars, I was looking for a gap where I could park. I pulled in and parked. What was behind me? A big four-wheel drive Mercedes. What was in front of me? A Jaguar. And I said to Liz, the Lord has got a sense of humour about this. So we all have prejudices. We all judge others. We have to be honest about that. And God wants us to change that and to allow the Holy Spirit to soften and change our heart. Well, the example I've given is a little bit frivolous, isn't it? But there are other prejudices. What about asylum seekers? Are we prejudiced against people who are not like us? Do we go on the defensive? Or do we do what Jemima read out in that Deuteronomy scripture? The foreigner, we need to love and treat as though they're one of our own. That's God's heart. That's the biblical response to asylum seekers, okay? That's what God says. So, we don't want to be people who are blinded, like the Pharisees were, from seeing Jesus at work in our lives and in the lives of others, do we? We want to rejoice in the fact that the kingdom of God has come. So the question is, we want to follow Jesus. We want to be seeing like the healed blind man was and not unseeing like the Pharisees were. We want to be those kind of disciples, don't we? We want to see the kingdom's at work here. Jesus is doing something here. Not, that can't be of God because I have this particular prejudice or way of thinking. We need to guard ourselves against spiritual blindness. It is easier than we think to fall in and be in that place. We want to seek the kingdom of God, don't we? We pray for it, the Lord's Prayer. Lord, let your kingdom come, let your kingdom come. So I'm going to finish there. I've got my eye on the clock. I might have overrun a little bit. I'm just going to pray for us. Pray for us that we'll have the courage to do the works of God. And we'll ask God to give us those opportunities to do the works he's given us to do. And also that he helps us to not be Pharisees, but to be able to rejoice that the kingdom of God has come. Okay? So, yeah. Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his amazing ministry. I thank you for his confidence that he's put into us, that we are those who are kingdom bringers, that we are those who you lead us. You want us to pray for people to see them healed of sicknesses, but also, Lord, to see salvation come, that we will see people's lives change spiritually, that people's spiritual eyes can be open to see you, and that when they see you, they decide, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. We want to be those who do your works, and we want to be those who follow you, like the healed blind man. Let us follow you, Lord. Let us not sit in our prejudices, Lord. Deliver us from those things, Lord. Let our eyes see the kingdom. Let us seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom first, always, always. Yeah, so Lord, help us in these things as we seek to follow you. Yeah, amen. Amen.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.